From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at kcrw.com. Probably some of the best photos we ever tend to see usually come from fronts or places where there's a lot of action. And if you look at the photos on the blog, The Sartorialist, they feel they come from the fronts of the style wars. My guest is Scott Schumann. He also has a new book, The Sartorialist, published by Penguin, that uses a lot of the photos from the blog. First of all, Scott, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And it really is what we were saying before we got started, but it feels to me like pictures from the front. And I wondered if that was, you were saying before, that that really was kind of an inspiration for you as a photographer.
Yeah, well, you know, you had mentioned National Geographic. And one of the photographers that I looked at a lot when I was starting to teach myself photography was Steve McCurry, who shoots for National Geographic. And he's going to Tibet or all over the world.
It has a famous photo of the 14-year-old girl on the cover of Time magazine from 1980.
Exactly. Beautiful portraits. Really set within the space that he's in. You get a sense of where he's at. You get a sense of who these people are. And they're beautiful. They're stylish in their own way. And he travels to all these beautiful places. And you want to know who these people are. And so that was a very early inspiration when I started to teach myself photography. And so I think I was able to look at something like that and say, you know, what's my version of that? You know, what do I find? I love that idea of wanting to know these people, of creating a beautiful portrait, but where the underlining theme was some kind of fashion or some kind of style. But, you know, as I was doing the book and writing the introduction, I think the one thing that I found that I'm proud of is that even though the basis of it is fashion, the core of what I'm shooting is kind of based on fashion, I think when you look at it, when I look at these pictures, I think a lot of people, when they look at the pictures, they're not really talking about skirts. They're not coming saying, oh, I love that skirt length or that guy's jacket. There's something about that person. Hopefully I've been able to capture a little bit of what I think that person is. And the only underlying theme is they have something special, some way that they're communicating about themselves through their style, whether it's super high expensive clothes, a skateboarder, you know, an 80-year-old Italian guy walking, ticking his passeggiata, you know, through the Duomo or, you know, in the
one of my favorite pictures in there is, I mean, on the blog is a guy wearing this beautiful yellow suit, and you assume he had the suit forever, and he said he was a drug dealer, and 10 years ago some woman threw the suit at him to pay for drugs.
Yeah. You never know what people are going to say. I love those things, you know. And I don't know if you know one of the other shots. He had two-tone shoes on.
She was just black and white spectators.
Yeah, but I think he made them spectators himself.
You can see where the line stopped, the white in the shoes.
Yeah, something like that is, you know, truth is so much more fun and surprising than what I could ever make up.
Well, the great thing about, for me, almost all the photographs is we really get a sense of knowing these people, that clothes do make these people. And there's, like you're saying, there's a communication and a kind of a personal statement as well. And you must find that when you talk to these people.
Someone asked me one time when they came by my photo exhibit in New York a couple years ago, and they said, are these photographs of these people, or are these your photographs of these people? And at first I said, well, of course, these are photographs of these people. And then I thought about it and said, no, to be honest, these are my photographs of these people, because to be honest, I don't know these. You know, I didn't know that guy more than 5 minutes that I talked to him. If I have to be totally realistic, a lot of this is who that person is. I'm not really telling them how to pose or anything else, but I think it is my kind of take on that person, my romantic idea of what that person might be like. And in that way, you know, these shooting it in a very selfish way, I think, is something that's made, is actually kind of positive for fashion, because so much in fashion you get people judging other people. That person's fashionable, not fashionable. That's good, that's bad, whatever. What I think I end up doing more is taking pictures of the romantic way that I think this person might be. And as opposed to judging them, it's all about, like for me, it's what I can get out of it. This selfishness of saying, I'm going to take this picture this way because it's a picture I want to look at. And being able to create this kind of romantic ideas, it's what I'm going to get out of it. What am I getting from this guy's outfit? What am I getting from this girl's persona? How's this going to make me better? Which is actually, I think, a much more positive way, because I'm not judging them. They don't have to dress great for me. They don't have to do this thing for me. It's what I can get out of it. And I think that's what a lot of people that look at the blog have started to realize. You know, it's a much more positive, pro way, less judgmental way, and being selfish actually is a way that's better for people. You know, it's really what we can learn from other people. And I think in doing that, I do think I'm, you know, reasonably good at being able to capture who this person is, but it's still my prism through my filter.
It's The Treatment. My guest is Scott Schumann. Of course, his blog is Sartorialist, and there's now a book of the same name out.
I guess one of the things I thought, we're both Midwesterners, you're from Indiana, I'm from Michigan. It's kind of a way to get to know the city in some ways. It almost reminds me of Ouija's photographs, getting to know New York or Milan or Paris, wherever you are. You get an understanding of whose people are and the way they fit into the city by getting these pictures. Is that some part of the motivation for you too?
I love going out and, you know, and just getting lost, you know, because you just never know where you're going to meet these people. And if I have a chance, you know, when I first started going to the fashion shows for Style.com, they didn't give me a car. And after I started doing it, I never asked for a car, you know, because I could walk a lot of times once I got to know Milan pretty well. Or a lot of these cities, you know, I could walk from one place to the next. It might take me a little bit longer, but, you know, it's taking this chance and going down this other street instead of the more direct way that you run into some 80-year-old guy just doing his thing, running down to the store to get a thing of bread, and he's got a great hat or whatever, a house painter, and he's got a baguette in Paris on a Sunday morning. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great way. And the thing I think, as I've been doing this more and become a better photographer, is once you go somewhere new, like when I was in Moscow, you immediately start to notice what are the things that are different, almost the street furniture, you know, the signs, the benches, kiosks, things like that that really mark what makes Moscow look different than Milan, different than New York, different than Chicago or LA. And once I get a chance to walk around a little bit, once I find people, I do it very spontaneous, very much where I found them, but I like to try and get some of those elements in the background. And, you know, that's one of the fun things for me is you never know where you're going to find someone. And the challenge is, okay, I see that guy over there. I think I can catch up to him, take a fast picture. And as I'm walking over, I'm looking at what my surroundings are, trying to set the dials on the camera really quick and then say, all right, I got 5 minutes or whatever to shoot this guy, and then try and capture that image the way I want to see it and share it so people look at it and go, oh, that's London. You know, that's a guy in London.
Was that a subliminal thing for you, realizing it was a way to sort of get to know a locale, or was it something that was a specific goal when you started the blog in 2005?
It wasn't a specific goal in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, it was just to go out and shoot guys that I thought looked cool, that I would get something from, that guys that I didn't see represented in the magazines, you know, that weren't wearing Hugo Boss or Armani, whoever the big advertisers were, guys who were stylish but not necessarily fashionable.
And that's a big distinction to make, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. Totally. You know, I mean, there's guys that we all know look stylish, but they're not necessarily fashionable. And there's a lot of guys who are fashionable, but they're not in the fashion of the magazines. You know, and I think I can get just as inspired by those guys as anyone else. But it was not something in the beginning that I was planning on doing. But, you know, like anyone, I want to do my job better and better and better. And not only from a fashion point of view, but as a photographic point of view. So in doing that, I keep looking at my photographs saying, I'm in Madrid. How do I make sure that this looks like Madrid? How do I capture this in the right way? And you can't always do it every shot. But the best shots and the ones that make it into a book or something like that are the ones I think you can immediately say, wow, okay, that person looks kind of cool. I feel like I've gotten to know that person a little bit. And I can kind of tell where they are.
You say, though, you want to do your job better, but in fact, this is a job you kind of invented for yourself, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, the way I'm going to be able to continue to do it, I mean, I look at someone like Bill Cunningham, who shoots for the New York Times. I was sitting next to him at the Victor and Rolf show in Paris, and it was so inspiring, you know, to sit next to him. I mean, I see him all the time, so it's not like this was one particular time, but it was a particularly good show. And he's sitting next to me, and he's watching the show like a 20-year-old first-time show fashion editor. I mean, the look on his face, he loved it. And I'm sitting here watching him thinking, I got another 40 years. You know, and I mean, I know my energy, and I know I'll be able to do that, but I look at that and think, you know, I need to be that when I'm 80. I mean, he's almost 80 or right around there, and he still has that total love and joy and energy from it. And that's what I want to have. You know, I want to keep getting better, and I want to be able to be 80 and winding down my career going, wow, okay, this was really fun. And you can tell through the pictures. You know, like, a lot of people say, we can see your passion and your honesty and sincerity in the pictures.
It's the treatment, I guess, of Scott Shuman. Of course, you know his blog, The Sartorialist. You should know the book as well, The Sartorialist, which is just out now. It's a terrific page turner. One of the things that's so interesting to me about you is your enthusiasm. We met when I was at a show, and you just walked over and you asked to get a shot of me. And it wasn't like somebody saying, stand here, do this. You just said, I want to get you. Mm-hmm. And you sort of left it up to me to do what I was going to do. And mm-hmm. I figured that was one of the things that really made it attractive for people, for you at the beginning, before you became a commodity, became famous.
I mean, I think, you know, I think people are so tired of all the celebrity, you know, photographs of, you know, supposedly style. Most of them don't have any fashion, any style, and it's so styled and everything. I don't know how they keep missing it. how they keep not doing it well, and they've got all these styles.
Isn't
and everything.
Isn't that kind of amazing? But part of that is what you do is that the pictures you get, there's personality in those.
Yeah, well, I think it's the edit. To get the shot and communicate the romance that I was seeing in that person or in that moment, in that look, whatever, once I was able to capture that photographically, the part that I had before that, the part that I knew that made me comfortable that I could go out and create an interesting blog was the edit. I spent 15 years in the fashion business before I did this, but my experience was all in women's wear. So I know that I know women's wear from experience, and I know a lot of cool girls, and I know what they like to wear. So I knew my edit was good, and you know, I took tailoring classes in college, and I just shoot men's on intuition. I know what cool regular guys like to wear. And there's nothing more interesting, I think, than to be able to go out and take a photograph of a guy who's not a model, a picture of someone you could look at and say, oh, I can relate to that guy. I know a guy like him. And in the beginning, when I started taking the pictures, I would get emails from guys saying, oh, I printed out that picture. I took it to Nordstrom and showed him and said, that guy looks like me, but I don't look like him. And I want to look more like him. Help me look like him. And it wasn't because it was a $5,000 suit. It's because the suit fit him well, you know, and I was able to notice that subtlety of this suit fitting that guy well and capture it in a way that made people go, oh, wow, okay. That guy looks pretty cool.
It's funny, though, because we were talking before, and you were an athlete in high school. And one of the things that really pops out of the pictures to me as much as anything is the kind of physical arrogance of the people wearing the clothes. They have the kind of posture of athletes, people really comfortable mm-hmm. in their skin, and the skin for them is what they're wearing. Mm-hmm. And you have an eye for picking that kind of person, I think.
I think that's part of it. If I'm good as an artist, I think I'm sensitive to a lot of different things. And like if you watch a lot of these Project Runway shows and these modeling shows and everything, it seems like they're always showing the models how to walk in this big kind of Versace crazy way. But, you know, that's not all of fashion. You know, fashion is also Dries Van Noten and Demi Lovato, quiet, subtle fashion, artistic fashion. So I actually had taken a picture of a girl in Stockholm, and she looked different. It was such a dichotomy. It was this conflict in her style. In Stockholm, they don't have a lot of different kinds of trends. They have a few trends that everybody wears, where this girl wasn't wearing one of those. She was wearing something that was different. It wasn't crazy, but she just didn't look like all the other girls in Stockholm. And I stopped and asked to take her picture, and she said, okay, but you have to go around the corner because I don't want anyone to see me having my picture taken. She was very shy and very embarrassed. And when I thought about it later, I thought, you know, that's an interesting guy, an interesting contrast. She puts on an outfit that she knows people are going to look at her because she looks different. She doesn't look crazy, but she does look different. So she knows people are going to look at her, and yet she's also very self-conscious, and she doesn't want people to look at her. And that contrast, I thought, was really interesting. And he comes out in the picture. She had a hard time looking directly at the camera. She was embarrassed, so she was flattered, and she liked to share, but she was also conflicted, and she was very embarrassed. And I think that's totally, you know, I think it's my sensitivity as an artist to be able to say, that guy's an Italian, you know, this guy Lino, I shoot all the time in Milan. I mean, he's... You know, he's got this great style and this great kind of arrogance and this physicality about him. But I also think it's just as charming to find, you know, a young artsy 15-year-old kid who's a goth or whatever, and he just has a different kind of charm. And maybe it's a very quiet charm, and maybe it's a very small personality. And even though it's very small and physically very small, it still can speak volumes. I think I can capture it in a way that makes it seem bigger. You know, I think it maybe shows the pride in this person, even though they've got a small physical presence. There's something about them that when I ask to take the picture, they're like, oh, yeah, I was kind of waiting for you to come. I knew I had great style. Even though it's quiet, they're not that surprised by it because they know they have great style, even though it's quiet.
We'll take a break. My guest is Scott Schumann. His book and his blog are The Sartorialist. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment. More to come.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back to The Treatment, which you can also hear at kcrw.com. My guest is fellow Midwesterner and style icon and style blogger, Scott Schumann. His blog and his book are The Sartorialist. It's a great picture book, easy to carry around. Before the break, though, I'll get to the book in a second. You were saying that thing about that young girl in Stockholm who was kind of shy, but still she wanted to be paid attention to and had the confidence of her choices. Maybe what's that I mean to say that every picture, there's a confidence in the choice that the person has. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, there's a sort of a belief in self that manifests itself in what the people are wearing. Mm-hmm. And I can go through and show you at some point on almost every picture, you can see the shoulders up for the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fascinating to me to sort of see the people know that in one way or another that they, like you were saying before the break, deserve to be in front of the camera in those clothes.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a certain satisfaction that they probably, you know, these people are, they make good choices for themselves. And I think that they're kind of flattered that other people have noticed that. That, you know, I've noticed that, wow, they don't do my style. It's not something I would wear, but they do their style very well. And I don't know, somehow I'm able to communicate that very quickly that, you know, I think they do what they do really great and love to take a fast picture. And again, I think it comes down to choosing the right people. You know, I'm not reporting everything I'm seeing. It's half fashion, it's half photography.
Because there's certainly been style blogs before you were doing this. Mm-hmm. And I often got the sense in looking at them, there are people basically doing the same thing. You look at a lot of style blogs now, especially for men, it's the same shirts, it's the same shoes. It's like, really? So I should look at this so I can look like you rather? And what you really find a way to capture is that personal glamour, which almost to me goes to more to movies than to photography.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a filmic influence in what you do, a cinematic influence.
Yeah. I mean, I want the right light. You know, I mean, there are people that I see all the time that, you know, I shoot quite regularly, but I don't shoot them every time I see them. And they've just come to realize, you know, Scott wants to get a great shot. Scott wants to shoot me in a great way. I don't shoot them every single day. They might have something great and we just don't end up doing it because it's not going to create the right thing. It's not going to create the aspirational element that I like to try and capture with that. So people kind of get used to that. You know, they want a certain kind of photograph and it's just there's a certain magic when it's the right shot and everything. It reads so much more important than just saying, oh, you know, that guy had on wingtip shoes.
I guess I find myself wondering when you recognize that in yourself, that ability, that eye that you had to capture these things. Because when you were working and had a showroom, you must have just sort of felt that there were people who, like you were saying, just weren't getting what it was that they should be putting out there for people to see and buy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a type A person. So it wasn't quite type A. This, I think somehow, you know, they say you're not always going to make it on the path you set for yourself. And so this really wasn't a type A situation because, you know, blogs didn't cost any money. One of the things I'm, you know, most proud of is it's become a successful blog. But, you know, I started with no money and it was total passion. It was total kind of hobby. And I just saw I was doing it totally from a personal point of view. You know, that, like I said, there were guys that I wasn't seeing in the magazines that I was being inspired by. And it might not have even been specifically the clothes. You know, that's why, you know, hardly any of these old guys that I shoot, it's not about specifically what they're wearing. It's about a certain elegance. It's a certain dignity.
It's that personal glamour. It's who they are.
Personal glamour. It's something I think, and one of the things I'm most proud of is, I mean, how many times in fashion do you have someone saying, young kids saying especially, that's how I want to look when I get older. You know, so many magazines now, it's all about how to make yourself look younger, younger, younger. Well, it's so unrealistic. You know, none of us are getting younger. We're all getting older. Why not figure out how to do that in a realistic way, in a way that has dignity and spirit and looks and says, oh, you know, this is how I want to grow older. And where I realized I was doing the right thing is when I was just not trying to shoot for an audience, not trying to go after a certain segment or anything else, and I was just shooting what felt honest to me and felt sincere to me and felt it had integrity to me. And that's why I think it took off so quickly, because I think I'm different and unique in the sense I know a lot about women's, a lot about menswear. But at the same time, you know, I'm from the Midwest. I'm kind of a regular guy. A lot of people can relate to me. So it's that special balance that I have that makes it much easier for people to relate to. I think a lot of people can see themselves in these people in some way, whether it's the specific clothes or just say, oh, there's something about that person I find interesting. And not in a big, crazy way, but just to me, these pictures are like batting practice where you think, oh, that's right, I forgot I should wear jeans with those dress shoes. I always wear them with tennis shoes. I should try them with dress shoes. I've got dress shoes. Why didn't I remember to do that? It's so easy, but, you know, that's what this book, I think it's how a lot of people do it. You know, it's not I'm telling them to go out and get crazy new wardrobe or anything else. I think it just reminds them, oh, that's a person like me. I can do that.
It's the treatment. And we're not talking batting just yet, but my guest is Scott Schumann, the author of the new book, Sartorialist, and also creator and author of the blog, Sartorialist. Your instincts for this, I think made it so attractive to people online and people who are going to get the book, it's you. I mean, it's you creating art in the streets. You said street art before, and I found myself thinking about something I think you said in an interview with Interview Magazine, where you want to be surprised. Mm-hmm. And that's often not something we hear in fashion. It's this thing where people don't want to be surprised. They want to mm-hmm. have people tell them things, mm-hmm. and you want to find what's out there. I mean, there's a curiosity and an ambition mm-hmm. that suffuse your work, I think.
Yeah.
Because it makes people want to look at the blog from day to day to see what the surprise is going to be.
I mean, you know, that's a great thing of living in somewhere like New York or traveling the world. Because, you know, real life is so fun, you know, and going to these different cultures, going, you know, running around New York, running around Milan or Paris, or even now, like in 2010, you know, the blog's gotten to a certain size and it's now starting to make a certain amount of money that I can, as opposed to taking commissions to go somewhere where someone's going to pay me to go, I can start going where I want to go. And I want to start mixing in more of a what's called national costume element. So you have not only fashionable people and stylish people, but people like in the Andes Mountains, you know, they have a national way of dressing.
But a lot of that, I mean, the stuff you have in Italy and some of the stuff in London and Paris, I mean, there are traditional ways of dressing in those places more so than here. So it just follows it. Kind of the cultural anthropology you're doing that leads you to more remote places.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally going to – I mean, when you start flipping through the pages in the book or something for the next one, I think it'll totally fit in. It won't feel like, oh, these are odd photographs out. I think because it'll still be my eye and I'll still be looking at it with the same level of integrity. I went to India and – people said, well, you know, you're just taking all these pictures of girls that look like they could be from Paris or something. Well, you know, that's what I was finding interesting because I've seen pictures from India. I've seen a million saris, and I wasn't going to take a picture of someone wearing a sari and just go, oh, isn't that cute? She's wearing a sari. It was going to have to be a really great color, something really interesting about it, color combination, trim, proportion, something, if I was going to take a picture of a sari. But what I have not seen, at least personally, were pictures of really cool, everyday, modern girls in India. You know, that look like they travel the world, or even if they don't travel the world, that they're living in a certain way in India. And so some of the pictures, this one particular girl was like a third assistant somewhere, a small fashion magazine in India, and she had on her dad's shorts that she rolled up, I think they were dress pants, maybe she cut them off, rolled them up, a dress shirt buttoned up, really dramatic eye makeup. And
I had that same kind of physical arrogance. I mean, she knew that she belonged in front of the camera. I remember that picture.
Yeah, and I mean, she didn't know I was going to be there that day. It was a total surprise. You never think at the beginning of the day, I'm going to meet the coolest girl, beautiful, stylish, and she's going to be wearing her dad's pants, her dad's shorts, you know? And that's going to be the coolest girl I meet all day. And that's kind of surprise I love, you know, or even things like, you know, I'm not a big fan of cowboy boots. I think it has something to do with my Midwest background, but if I see some girl doing it, you know, that's one of the surprises. I'm waiting to see someone do cowboy boots in a cool way that I go, oh, all right, I'll take a picture of that.
Tell me about where the name came from.
The idea of someone that would be a sartorialist would be someone that was well put together, not necessarily tailored, not necessarily a man or a woman, but just someone that took time to do their look really well. And I've really been happy that, you know, now I'm starting to see it pop up in magazines as like a reference, as a word, you know, the new sartorialist. The sartorialist mix or something, if they're mixing patterns and something. When I was growing up, and I'm sure you probably had the same thing, people used to say, oh, he's so GQ. And so now they're starting to use the word, that's such a sartorialist thing. But the thing I'm happy with it is it's always different. What they're talking about is always different. It's more of a mindset that they're talking about as opposed to a particular shoulder or a particular color combination, something.
It's kind of what you want it to be. It's a call to individuality, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. You know, it's you never know what it is. You don't know it. You can't describe it, but you know it when you see it.
Well, it also has a great, almost old English turn of phrase to it, like the aerialist, which used to be mm-hmm. the name for trapeze artists. I mean, mm-hmm. it sort of felt like it's a word that had been in the language for a while, even though you invented it. It felt like it belonged.
Right. It was an easy word, and I think it's something that someone can embody. I mean, I know when I started the sartorialist, I had to, if I was going to be the sartorialist, I had to be the sartorialist. I had to embody that myself. You know, I had to be, if I was going to walk up to people and say, oh, I think you look cool, first thing they're going to do is look at me and say, well, who are you? Okay, you look okay. You know, I had to be at least cool in my own way.
Uh-huh.
And
did that change for you as you were shooting?
I think my style has certainly evolved. I've become more myself. I've realized I'm American, you know, so that's always going to affect me in certain ways in terms of my natural lean towards certain color combinations, certain shades of color or whatever. I think a lot of people now can start to use that word and say, oh, you know, I'm sartorialist. You know, I've got a sartorialist frame of mind in the sense that they're going to do it in an individual way. And so I love that. You know, I hope that that word starts to catch on in the sense that they can say that's very sartorialist and means it's done in that person's individual way.
It's the treatment, I guess, is Scott Shuman. I hope you know his blog, The Sartorialist, and his book, this great book as well, The Book of Photographs. I feel like part of this for you is just a kind of a natural evolution of who you were, that doing all these things for other people, having a showroom, you weren't really getting a chance to express yourself. And it was time for you to do that and also to sort of find yourself. And this was a perfect intersection of all those ambitions and goals, some of which may have been unstated for you even.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love the fact that I've become well-known, not by promoting myself, but by taking pictures and sharing pictures of these other people. It's been great that trying to help promote other people has actually worked out well for me, and it's created kind of a frame of mind that a lot of people can relate to.
I guess I just wonder, you find yourself thinking what it would be like if you had grown up someplace other than Indianapolis. I mean, because I think there's a certain kind of thing that we bring to New York coming from other places, especially the Midwest, where we all feel like we're kind of in second cities.
Right. Yeah,
come here and you want to like find that thing that makes you stand out and fit in. And that also seems to be kind of an unspoken theme in the works as well, in the pictures.
You know, the reason I'm able to continue to shoot it the way that I have consistently and with the romance that I shoot it with is when I was growing up, you know, we didn't have fancy designer stores in Indianapolis. I mean, maybe we had one. So when I would flip through GQ or Vogue or whatever, I recognized that those were people. They didn't look like any people that I knew. And they didn't live any kind of, you know, and I'd look at the picture, they didn't live any kind of lifestyle that I knew. Because, you know, we didn't travel when I was young or anything, that I was able to create a romance for that kind of lifestyle for years and years and years and years before I ever got here and realized, okay, it's not quite as romantic as what I thought, but it was already so ingrained that, and, you know, also coming from the Midwest and I had great parents and, you know, they were very positive and very nurturing and everything, that it just created the way that I look at the world. And so that's very much informs or kind of directs my eye when I'm shooting. You know, I can totally remember what it's like to be a 15-year-old kid in Indiana and think about what I was finding romantic about that life. Now I can still shoot it that way. I know it's not all that way and life's not really that way and it's more complicated and I've figured out how to capture that photographically. But I think that's why I'm able to see it. I'm not a blasé New Yorker, you know. I haven't seen it all, and even though I have seen a lot, I can still imagine what it's like to be a, you know, 15-year-old kid in Indiana.
We're out of time. Scott, thanks so much for doing this. The next book comes out, please come back.
Oh, yeah, of course.
My guest is Scott Shuman. His new book and the blog site, of course, are The Sartorialist. Our recording engineer at Argo Networks in New York is Paul Ruest. Bob Carlson is the editor. Gemma Dempsey is the producer. I'm bringing style to radio. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.